We want to continue with Pachad Yitzchok, and this time we begin Maimer Yud. It's quite a long Maimer, and hopefully we can finish it in two Shiurim. He starts with the famous Braisa in Shabbos, Maichana Katana Rabbanon, Kshenichnesu Yevonim Lehechal, Lo Hoyevo Lahadlik El Yom Echod, Vidolku Shmonas Yomim. They found one Pachas Shemen, and of course it lasted miraculously for 8 days. Hine, when we study the Guf HaNes, the essence of the miracle, we can say that it relates to the Maisa Hadloka, the act of Hadloka, in the case of Ner Shebemigdosh, Ubegufo Shones, and as far as the miracle is concerned, it doesn't make any difference whether or not the miracle transpired in any Hadloka or an Hadloka of Chinuch, meaning the Hadloka of preparing the menorah for use after the Yevonim had contaminated the Migdash and its parts and the menorah. But yet, if you look carefully at the language of the Chachamim and the way they organized the presentation of the miracle itself as an answer to the question, my Chanukah, we will definitely derive the conclusion that even though in the essence of the miracle, it doesn't make any difference what kind of hadlaka was it. Was it just a maisa hadlaka? Was it a maisa of chinuch to designate and consecrate the menorah? But nevertheless, the inyan of the nes, meaning the concept of the miracle here, is really related to the fact that this hadlaka was not a maisa hadlaka, not just a hadlaka of any day of the year, but rather hadlok of chinuch, in which they set up the menorah. They came into the heichal, they cleaned out the tumah, and they lit the menorah as an act of chinuch. And that's something that we want to come back to study and see what the depth of understanding is behind that. We want to now really embark on the major part of this maimar, and that is the difference between the period of Bayis Rishon and the period of Bayis Sheni. We will see a statement at the end of Tanakh in Chagai HaNovi, and Chagai says the following: Gadol Yiyak Vod HaBayis HaAchron Min HaRishon. Chagai foretells that the greatness of the last Bayis surpasses that of the first bias. And this is a fascinating statement. The nevuah of Chagai HaNovi with regard to the period of Bayis Sheni indicates that there'll be a greatness to Bayis Sheni in that supersedes that of Bayis Rishon, and the Gemara itself in Bava Basra sheds a light on this greatness. And the Gemara says that it's b'shanim u'bibinyan. That means that the Bayis Sheni stood longer than the Bayis Rishon, and that there's something about the building of the Bayis Sheni that makes it unique. And we'd like to understand, what does this mean in Chagai's language, gadol yeh kvod habayis? The word kvod here should be emphasized. What is the glory or the honor of the bias, of the second bias, and how does it supersede that of the first bias? And it seems that this concept of shonim v'binyan that we saw in the Gemara of Basra is an allusion to that which Chachamim say elsewhere, afal pisha nitna Torah mikodem, Torah nitna aval hadara v'tif arata shel Torah lo nitnu ad bayis hasheni. This is a statement in Chazal that we find in the Pirkei Hecholos, and it reflects the fact that the kavod of bayis sheni, which as we saw surpasses that of bayis rishon, is a reflection of the Torah itself. Again, the Torah was given way before Bayis Sheni and way before Bayis Rishon as well. But somehow, the Hadar, the Hadar and the Teferis of Torah was only given in Bayishen. And that's one tradition, and it really puts Bayis Sheni on a very high level. However, there is a second tradition, sort of a second approach to Bayis Sheni, and this is reflected in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where he writes about Bayis Sheni b'Bayis Hasheni, b'Mei Bayis Hasheni Tzatza Haminus b'Yisrael. There was an outburst, if you will, of denial of heresy in Klal Yisrael. And this doesn't mean that there happens to be, you know, that at that historical period there was a Hatzotas Aminus, there was this, as we said, an outburst of apikursis, of denial. But rather it means the Rambam is telling us that Hatzotas Aminus has some shaychus, has some relationship to the entire approach, to the entire, shall we say, period of time that typifies the character of Bayis Sheni. And when you look at these two approaches to Bayis Sheni, on the one hand, the Hadar and the Teferis of Torah, the Gadol Yekod, Bayis HaAchra Min HaRishon, and on the other hand, we're talking about Hatzotzas HaMinus, as the Rambam says it. What are we dealing with? Are we dealing with different stages historically in Bayis Sheni? It sounds no. That we're talking about two sides of one coin. That they're both describing the nature of Bayis Sheni, and we get this. We end up with this paradox in which Bayis Sheni, on the one hand, is Hadar v'Tefrat Shel Torah, and on the other hand, it's Hatzotzas Haminus b'Yisrael. And in order to really grasp the nature and the character by Sheni, and to sort of integrate these two elements, we're going to really organize our thoughts in the following way. We'll call it A, B, and C. First of all, let's explain each one of these two tzadim of by Sheni unto itself. So A, paragraph A will be, what is this, how does this kavod v'tifares of Hadara v'tifares shel Torah express itself in by Sheni? Secondly, how does Hatzotzas HaMinus express itself in Bayis Sheni? And finally, in let's say we call it C, or part 3, what we want to do is explain the integration of these two parts of one whole, these two sides of one coin. So for now, what we're going to do is, and this will take us a while, we're going to take our time and dedicate our energies to understand what is Hadara v'Tifarta Shel Torah as a concept unto itself, describing the character, the nature of Bayis Sheni. We'll begin with a statement in Chazal about Ezra. Of course, Ezra was the one who established Bayis Sheni, and we know the following, that the language of Chazal in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Ra'ui haya Ezra shetinasein Torah al yodo. And Chazal go ahead and say that nishtana ksav al yodo. Now we had ksav Ivri, that was the original ksav, and Ezra changed the ksav. But this idea of Ezra changing the ksav has deeper meaning. The Maral, in his Tiferes Yisrael, writes about this statement of Chazal, that it's muflag bechachma. There's something very profound in the wisdom of what this is all about. The change of the ksav, dafkal yidei Ezra, he says, although, you know, we're talking about very high and deep concepts, but he says, Rabbi Shimon, he based himself on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omer, this is a brisa of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Chas v'sholom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. Kilo tishkach mipi zaro. That the Torah has given us an eternal promise that the Torah will not be forgotten from the descendants of Klal Yisrael, the people of Israel. Elamani mekayim yeshotetu levakesh esvar Hashem v'lo yimtso. But nevertheless, the Nevuah predicts that there'll be a period of time. This is Amos Hanavi in the 8th chapter. He says there'll be a period of time when they won't be able to discover Chachma. And Reb Shim Bar Yochai says that that means lo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishnah brura b'makom echad. What this seems to mean is that on the one hand, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is claiming that even though Amos says yivakshu es dvar Hashem lo yimtzo, nevertheless the pasuk promises us ki lo tishkach mipi zaro, that's in Dvarim Lamed Aleph, that the Torah will never be forgotten. But the answer is v'lo yimtso means it won't be in one place. The Torah will be spread out. You know, you'll have to go here to clarify one issue. You'll have to go there to clarify another issue. There's no one central area where we can find the Torah. And the Maharal expands upon this. And he says that this nevuah of Amos, which Rav Shimon Bar Yochai interprets to mean that we won't be able to find and discover or come to a halacha brura, mishnah brura in one place, that the Torah itself is spread throughout the world, says Maharal, that's a reflection of the idea, the central idea, that Yisrael va'oraisa chadhu, that Klal Yisrael and the Torah are one and the same. And therefore, at the time of Golus, when Klal Yisrael are no longer mechunasim, they're no longer gathered together in Eretz Yisrael, but rather they're spread throughout the world, then Torah, insofar as it reflects the same essence as Klal Yisrael, will likewise be spread throughout the world. Kishem shenigzar pizur al Yisrael, k'mochein mischayev hu pizur b'divrei Torah. Klal Yisrael is spread out, and memela as a result, it's got to reflect itself in the mirror image of Klal Yisrael. Divrei Torah also spread out. In other words, the way that Torah exists or is understood in the world is really a mirror image of the tzura of the image of Klal Yisrael. If the image of Klal Yisrael is an image of a nation in exile spread throughout the world, so too the Torah has that same image, if you will, the same tzura. It's spread throughout the world. This is the Maharal in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. And the chiddush here of the Maharal is that when it says that Yisrael v'orais achadu, that Yisrael and orais are one, what does that mean? It means that they have to, both Klal Yisrael and the Torah, have to share a common destiny. If the destiny of Klal Yisrael is to be spread throughout, then it must be so that the Torah would also participate and partner up with that destiny, and therefore Birur Halacha, the clarity of the Torah, would have to be spread from one ocean to the next, from sea to sea, spread throughout the world. And the Pachad Yitzchak claims that at the face of it, we would probably understand, and we're going to see if this is correct or not, but our first thoughts on the issue would be that when we talk about Sheet of Goro, when we talk about a partnership of destiny, we're talking about a situation of Pizur. Pizur is an unusual situation. That's not the normal way it should be. In other words, when there's something abnormal in both Klal Yisrael, in Klal Yisrael, then it has to be abnormal in a parallel sense in the Torah as well. That's called Pizur when Klal Yisrael are exiled and spread throughout the world. But we would assume that there's no way of understanding a Sheet of Goral, a common destiny between Klal Yisrael and the Torah itself, when Klal Yisrael are in a situation of kinus, meaning when they're all gathered together in their land before Golus. Pizur, when there's Golus, that's an aberration. That's a that's an unusual, abnormal situation. And that abnormality, insofar as it expresses itself in the situation of Klal Yisrael and Golus, it's a Yitziyah Min HaSeder, it's abnormal, then it makes sense that we should expect Torah, insofar as Yisrael, the Torah, Chadhu, should also reflect a partnership and a duplication of that Yitziyah Min HaSeder, of that unusual, abnormal situation. But Kinus, a situation of Klal Yisrael in their normal, natural habitat, in other words, in their original form, where everything is metukan, everything is rectified, everything is in its proper place, all of Klal Yisrael find themselves in Eretz Yisrael, in such a case, it doesn't seem that there would be any shutfus, any clear and recognizable partnership between the metzius of Klal Yisrael, the reality of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, and the situation of Torah. Each one is in its natural place, in its makom tivi, its seder anachon, and it's you know, when we talk about recognizing a common destiny between Yisrael and the Torah and the Oraisa, it would make sense that that should apply. It should only be recognizable at the time of Pizur, at the time of Golos, in the period in which things are abnormal, and this Pizur and this, you know, Klal Yisrael spread throughout, that's when we expect that it's going to trigger off some sort of impact, so to speak, on the Torah itself. But at a time of Kinus, when Klal Yisrael are found where they should be, and the Torah, let's say, the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph, is sitting in its lishkas agozis, in its natural place, everything is going well, we don't expect in those circumstances to recognize any sort of mirror image, any sort of partnership in the destiny, the sheet of Goral, of Klal Yisrael and the Torah. In other words, when you talk about recognizing what he calls a heker, of a commonality, of a partnership, so to speak, and a reflected image of two different things, it doesn't make sense to say that when everything is normal. If everything is normal, everything goes the way it should in its natural state, then there are different entities and different experiences, and all of the universe belongs to some normal way. There's no need to find a common destiny between two things. Each individual entity unto itself is independent. That's what we would think at the face of it. That would be our first reaction or our first assumption. Then he writes, Omnom, however, and here the language of the Pachitzuk is very heavy. He says, Tzir zeh rochaku minikudus emes betachlus arichuk. Ki alo ein pizur el pomim panim yiduim, he says, bohofas shituf hagoral. That is what he's suggesting here now, in rejecting his first approach, his natural intuitive approach, is to say that on the contrary, shituf hagoral, this concept, as we called it, of a common destiny, is essential to the relationship between Yisrael and Oraisa, so far as Yisrael and Oraisa Chadu, and therefore, when we talk about the situation of Pizur, and we say that when Klal Yisrael is spread out, so do the Torah is spread out, that's just one expression, that's one dimension of Shituf Goral. But Lekushta de Milsa, but if you want to know the honest truth, he says, at the moment of Kinus, at the moment when Klal Yisrael are gathered, living in their natural habitat in Eretz Yisrael, Hofia Shituf Beponim Acherim, that same common destiny that we spoke about, Shituf HaGoral, reflects itself in a different way. But nevertheless, despite the fact that there's Kinus, and it's natural, there is a commonality here between Klal Yisrael and the Torah. So, just to summarize, in different periods of time in Jewish history, we're going to see the Sheet of Goral, that common destiny between Yisrael and Oraisus insofar as they're chad in different ways. They express itself in different ways. If Klal Yisrael is in a state of kinus, then the Torah is going to be in a state of kinus. In other words, in its perfect natural way, in which Klal Yisrael finds itself in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah will be in its perfect natural way, so to speak. And then in later periods of time in Jewish history, when Klal Yisrael are forced into exile and they're spread throughout the world, the Torah is going to be impacted as well, and it will be in a situation of peace. So this Torah in kinus, Torah in peace, just like this Klal Yisrael in kinus and Klal Yisrael in peace. And now at this point, he goes back to the quote from Masechta Sanhedrin that was mentioned earlier, Shenishtana Haksav al Yidei Ezra. There was some change in the ksav, in the script at the time of Ezra. So we're familiar with the ksav of Ezra and Eloch, but there was a time period in which the ksav was a ksav Ivri. We're not really so familiar with the ksav Ivri. Now, when we say there was a change in the ksav, which was initiated by Ezra, what does that mean? You know, sometimes you could say that there's a radical change. You know, things went upside down. You know, there's a total turnover. For example, and sometimes you talk in Isurim, you know, there was an Isur, and then there was a Matir that changed everything. You know, you can have a Behemah B'chayel, I'm just adding this my own, but is B'Yisrael from an Achai Omedes, and then Shechita comes along and is Matir the animal. So the Maral says that that's not the paradigm for the Shini Aksav of Ezra. If you need a paradigm, a more appropriate one would be like the Iser of, and then the subsequent heter of Basar Taiva, meaning up until a certain point, until Noah came out of the Teva, man was enjoined from eating meat. That's called Basar Taiva. And then the Torah said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noah that he's allowed to eat meat. And this is sugya in Chulin on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. Says the Maral, it's not that the situation changed from what it once was to what it is now, from an Iser Basar Taiva to a Heter Basar Taiva, but rather he says there's no Matir here, but that from the get-go, Basar Taiva was an Iser Lizman. It was only prohibited for a time period. It was a temporary prohibition. And that described a situation that was appropriate for that period of time. In a new period of time, in the post-Mabel period of Noah coming out of the Teva, that Iser Basar Taiva was no longer applicable. It did its due course. You know, it terminated its due course. And we have things like that. You know, you can take a neder and create an Iser for a certain period of time. Or you have an Iser Zman, like in the case of Chometz. You know, Chometz is also during that 7 days of Pesach. Now, the rest of the year, it's not also. The whole Iser is not Shayach. So the Maral uses that as a mashal, so to speak, to understand the issue of Ksav. He says the Torah was given in Ksav Ivri, because at that stage in the development of Klal Yisrael, in the personality, so to speak, the character of Klal Yisrael, the Ksav Ivri was their Ksav. That was the Ksav of the people. You know, every nation has its own manuscript, its own script, and the script of Klal Yisrael was the script Ivri, and therefore the Torah was given in their script. And from the get-go, it was a temporary kind of ksav, and it was clear that the ksav would change when the nature of Klal Yisrael would change. In other words, if Klal Yisrael would move into the exile period, they would need a different ksav. The Maral says the beginning of Klal Yisrael, which is called, when Klal Yisrael called Ivrim, because they can't be Evranar, that's the name of a Jew, right, an Ivri, because we came from Evranar, Avrama Ivri, is as long as Klal Yisrael are in that beginning level, you know, the inception of the nation of Israel in its early stages, then the ksav reflects that ivri. They're ivrim, and that's their ksav, and therefore the Torah is going to be given in ksav ivri. But then the Golas comes along, and Klal Yisrael are no longer in that early stage, and now they need a different ksav. The different ksav reflects, you know, that change in the character, in the nature of the people of Israel as a nation. And if this be the case, let's go back to our concept called Shituv Goral. And we spoke about the recognizable, the Heker Shituv Goral between Klal Yisrael and Doraisa. And we can say that there is such a Heker, there is such a commonality, even in the time of Kinus. Meaning, for this entire long period of time when Klal Yisrael are living in their nation, in their country, in their land, and there's no exile, so the situation of the Torah is also in its natural form. It reflects itself. First of all, the Ksav. The Ksav is the Ksav HaIvri. And second of all, in terms of the expansion of Torah. Right, there are many books in Torah, the 24 books in Tanakh. Those books are being written during the period of time when Klal Yisrael are in a situation of kinus. So insofar as kinus is a natural reflection of Klal Yisrael as a nation that are living in their land, so too the Torah reflects that natural situation in which, you know, the Torah is being written. They're Nevi'im, and they're writing Torah Shebichtav, expanding the Torah during this whole period of time. And if you look in the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos, on the pasuk at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, which says Asher Kasavti, and the Gemara interprets that in that pasuk, Torah Asher Kasavti, the Asher Kasavti is a reference to Tanakh, to the books of Kisvei HaKodesh that are being written over the course of time. So the Asher Kasavti, which is explicit in the Torah, is an allusion here to that period of time when there was Ksav Ivri, when there was Kinus, when Klal Yisrael found themselves living in their natural habitat in their land. So the Asher Kasavti is a reference here to Ksav Ivri. And the Asher Kasavti period of Jewish history continues as long as this Kinus, as long as we're in that Madrega of Haskola that we spoke about before, the Maral, when Klal Yisrael were in their initial national state, and that was the level of Klal Yisrael then, and that was Asher Kasavti, as an ongoing, continuous flourishing of Torah through Ksav. And Ksav here refers to the Ksav Ivri. And here we see a clear, recognizable case of a sheet of Goral, of a common destiny, so to speak, a common history between Yisrael and Torah Yisrael and Oraisa. And it reaches really a very high, lofty level where the Ummah, where the nation of Israel in its natural state, living and expanding and multiplying in the land, reflects itself in a parallel mirror image destiny of Torah, where the Ksav of Torah and the Kisvei HaKodesh are flourishing. That Ksav reflects the natural state of Ivri, and that's called Ksav Ivri. And the Kisvei HaKodesh, the holy books, are being written, and the Torah is expanding, just like Klal Yisrael are expanding in the natural habitat in Eretz Yisrael. The language here, the Pachad Yitzchok, is, he says, the Sheet of Goral, Hayimofia Dafka Biosa Dmus Ubiosa Hatavnis, Shebahen Haisa Uma Shruya B'Tkufazu. So he says that the commonality between Torah and Klal Yisrael, as it reflected itself in that period of time, is absolutely typical of that period of time. But then we get to the period of time of Ezra. And this is following the period of Golus. After the initial Kiddush, the initial sanctification of the land of Israel, the Kiddush period of Yoshua, that's called Bir Rishona. Yoshua comes into the land, defeats the enemies, and then he divides up the land of Israel, and there's a period of Yeshiva B'Eretz Yisrael, of Kinus. However, if we take the period of Ezra, what we call B'Yashnia, the period of B'Yasheni, and we try to put it up to the light, you know, a standard of comparison to the period of B'Yer Rishon of Yoshua, and our standard of comparison will be these concepts of Kinus and Pizur, we're going to see a radical change between Bir Rishon of Yoshua and Bir Shni of Ezra. With regard to the first Bir, that of Yoshua, it's called Kol Yoshveh Olel. That means all of Klal Yisrael are Mechunasim Yachad. This is a Gemara in Erchin Adaf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. It's Kol Yoshveh Olel. Olel means on the land. So all the people of Israel have settled and are living in the land. But Bir Shnia, the Gemara says, that of Ezra is Ein Kol Yoshveh Olel. It's only a fraction of the Jewish nation has gravitationally been pulled back to the land and is settling and has settled the land. So when we talk about Bir of Yoshua, we're talking about a complete and total kinus. When we're talking about the Bir of Ezra, we're talking about the period of peace, or at least there's some kinus, but there's a very strong element of pizur. And this is going to reflect itself in the Torah itself. Because as we said, the sheet of Goral, you know, the mirror image of Torah to the people of Israel, of Yisrael, Varei Sechadu, is going to be an ongoing, continuous phenomenon. So in the case of Bir Rishon of Yoshua, when we speak about Kinus, we speak about the period of Kisvei HaKodesh. You know, the Sefer Yoshua is written and all the other Sfarim of Tanakh during this period of Kinus. Once we get to Bir Shnia of Ezra, then we're talking about closing, terminating Kisvei HaKodesh, becomes a closed book. You know, we had the last Nevi'im, Chagei Zecharia Malachi. And what we're really seeing here is that this transition period of Ezra between Kinus that reflects itself in the character of Bir Rishona and now Pizur, which is the beginning of a process of Klal Yisrael being spread out throughout the world, it's going to express itself first and foremost in the fact that Ezra is going to close Kisvei HaKodesh. In other words, we're saying now that the fact that Ezra closes Kisvei HaKodesh is not coincidental, but it's real. It really reflects the whole nature of the period of time and the situation of Klal Yisrael, the Tchilas Pizur. He writes that what we see here, and the language here again becomes very, very obscure, very flowery. He says, "Mitochen shal advar malo nishkafim lanu dmuyos nizgavos shel mashkilim mitzarfin varochim makbilim." I mean, all I can say about that line is that what we're looking at here are reflections, are mirror reflections of dmuyos. You know, we said that the tzura, the dmus of different periods of time refers to the image or the character, the personality of those periods of time. So what we're seeing is that everything's happening all at once and all in the same time. What we're seeing here is that the ksav of Torah, meaning the books of Torah Shebichsav, are terminating. And at that same time, in that same place, we're seeing a change in Klal Yisrael. A transition between Kiddush and the opposite, and Pizur. In other words, between Kol Yoshveh Olel and Ein Yoshveh Olel. So again, the period of Yoshua Bir Rishona is a period of Kiddush, and it's a period of Ksav, of Ksiva, in which Torah is expanding. The period of Bir Shnia of Ezra is the kickoff, it's the beginning of a period of Pizur. And during that period of Pizur, of Ein Yoshvel Leah, we're going to see how that impacts on the Torah itself, because the Ksav of the Torah is going to change. It's the Chasima, it's the closing of Kisvei HaKodesh. Ezra's the one who is going to do that. He's going to close, lock the door on Kisvei HaKodesh. He's called the Baal Chasimas Kisvei HaKodesh. And Ezra Sofer is also the Baal Kiddush of Ein Yoshvel Leah. He's the one who's directly connected with the fact that Pizur is now a reality in Klal Yisrael. And what we have in Eretz Yisrael for the process of Kiddush is only a fraction of the Jewish people. And that reflects itself, as we said, in a certain limitation in the Torah. You know, the Torah now becomes a closed book and no one else can add to the Torah. And it doesn't seem to be coincidental that everything's happening at the same time, the same place. That the cutoff point between Kol Yoshvel Leo and Ein Yoshvel Leo is Ezra. And the cutoff point between Torah flourishing and expanding with Kisvei HaKodesh being added and the termination, the closing of that of the gates of Torah is also Ezra. And therefore, what we're seeing is the Shituf Goral of Klal Yisrael and the Torah reaching its most recognizable state, you know, its most profound, you can almost point to it. And this is going to continue throughout. In other words, as the Ksav of Torah terminates, so too the period of Kinus terminates, and it all happens simultaneously. At the moment of Siluk HaKsav, there's Siluk HaKinus, which is a profound reflection of the common destiny of Klal Yisrael and the Torah. So what happens is that Chadal Milifol Bofas HaKsav Bobishar Hiskil Lifol Bofas HaPizur. Now the situation of Klal Yisrael expresses itself and can be described as Pizur. And in the situation of the Torah, what we have is the termination of the Ksav HaIvri, but there's a new Ksav. This is the Ksav that Ezra introduces, and that Ksav is the Ksav of Pizur. He says, "Kanu Abokum Shenesiachid Ezra Sofer b'Mahal Shituf Agorul Ben Yisrael Oraisa." Here, at this moment in history, Ezra emerges as the key personality who really clinches the common destiny, the Shituf HaGoral of Klal Yisrael and Oraisa. Ezra impacts on this common destiny. And how does that express itself? It expresses itself in the fact that, so it's clear that it's not Ezra who created this partnership between Torah and Klal Yisrael and Torah. That partnership is eternal, it's continuous. But it takes on a different shape, it takes a different turn with Ezra Sofer. And that's what the Maral means when he says that the change of the Ksav of Ezra is a Dara Nifla. Because the change in the Ksav really means that the old partnership between Yisrael and Torah represented the Ksav. In other words, both the Ksav Ivri and the fact that the Ksav of Torah was expanding. I mean, the Kisvei HaKodesh was expanding. And there's a very unique change in the partnership between Torah and Klal Yisrael and Torah, that is related to Ezra Sofer. He plays a very critical role at a turning point, at a pivotal moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, and therefore in the history of Torah. So it's not coincidental that Ezra, as far as the history of Torah, is the beginning of Pizur. It's not coincidental that Ezra is the one who's going to close Kisvei HaKodesh. These two are parallel roads or paths because of the partnership between Yisrael and Torah. But Ezra is really impacting on the nature of that partnership and the changes that the parallel changes that apply respectively to Israel and to Torah. But keep in mind that even at the time of Kinus, that partnership was very profound and very recognizable. When there was a Ksav Ivri, when Klal Yisrael were in their natural habitat, you know, the natural national experience of Klal Yisrael, B'Haschol, in their initial state, had to reflect itself in the natural state of Torah, in which there was a Ksav Ivri, the Torah was being written, it was being expanded. Let's think about the fundamental and profound difference between the partnership of Torah of Klal Yisrael and Torah during Bia Rishona and the partnership between Klal Yisrael and Torah in Bia Shnia, between the situation of Kinus that was initiated by Yoshua and the situation of Pizur that was initiated by Ezra. There's a fundamental difference between the partnership. In the case of the first partnership, where we said that the Ksav is a Ksav Ivri that reflects the natural habitat and the settlement of Klal Yisrael in the land, that partnership has nothing to do with a concept called Birur HaHalacha. In other words, the Torah is really two Toros. There's Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and there's Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. When we speak about a partnership between Klal Yisrael and Torah, in the initial state, the natural state of Kinus, and we find that just like there's Kinus and a natural national experience of Klal Yisrael in the period of Bia Rishona, its parallel reflects itself in the Torah of Ksav, the written Torah. And the written Torah is written in a certain Ksav, and it expands. There's another concept called Birur HaHalacha. And if you recall, we had quoted the statement of the Braisa of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And let's see it one more time. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Chas v'shom shetishtakach Torah Yisrael, and he asked, "What about the nevuah of Amos, of Yishotetu levakish es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzu?" He said, "Mishnah brura lo yimtzu, Mishnah brura b'makom echad." So we're talking about a concept called Mishnah brura, and this brisa of Reb Shimon Yochai, I forgot to mention before, is quoted in the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amid Beis Ayin Shom. The Birur HaHalacha concept that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is referring to is the koach of Torah Shebal Peh. There's no possibility of Birur HaHalacha with regard to the power of the koach of Torah Shebichsav. The clarification of Halacha belongs to Torah Shebal Peh exclusively, has no relationship to Torah Shebichsav. So therefore, when we make this transition from the period of Bia Rishona to Bia Shnia during the reign of Ezra, when we talk about a partnership now that has begun with Pizur, then we're talking about Torah. The impact on Torah is going to be in the area of Torah Shebal Peh. The Ksav, in the original Ksav, and the Kisvei HaKodesh in the original situation of Kinus has now terminated. So as far as Torah Shebichsav is concerned, that's a closed book. What we enter into is a period of Torah Shebal Peh, and that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is alluding to when he speaks about Birur HaHalacha. We won't be able to be Mavar HaHalacha in one place, because there's no longer Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes determining HaHalacha. Now Chachmei Yisrael are spread in exile throughout the world. That's Pizur. A fraction of the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra. And for the majority of Israel, Torah is spread out. And Birur HaHalacha is not B'makom Echad. And that's perhaps the deeper meaning of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai saying in this Braisa that Lo Timtza HaHalacha Brura or Mishnah Brura B'makom Echad. That is really the, you know, if you have to cut, if you know, with a fine knife, the transition period between Bias Rishon and Bias Sheni, what really is the razor edge cutting point, the boundary is between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. The period of Bias Rishon, insofar as it is a continuation of Kinus, and that period of time goes back and really begins with Yoshua, and then obviously continues during the period of David and Shlomo Melch, etc., for hundreds of years. That is a period of partnership in Ksav, because again, Kinus equals Ksav in that mirror image. And that's Torah Shebichtav, but that has no relationship to the special Avodah, you know, when we dedicate ourselves to Bir Halacha, which belongs to the Tkufa Bayis Sheni. So there's a whole new kind of Avodah here, you know, inherently or existentially. There's one Avodah that reflects the period and is exclusive to the period of Bayis Rishon, and that's the Avodah of Ksav. And then we have a new Avodah called Bir Halacha, which is exclusive to Bayis Sheni and reflects itself in the Koach of Torah Shebaalpeh. And the sheet of Goral here, the partnership here, is to the extent in which Klal Yisrael are spread out in the exile, that's called Pizur. So too the Torah is spread out, and it requires a constant power, you know, energy force of the Avodah of Bir Halacha, to clarify the Torah, to elucidate its pathways. And that's going to be fulfilled through the power of Torah Shebaalpeh. Now, the Gemara says something in Gittin which is very important. The Gemara says, Lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim klal Yisrael el al Torah Shebaalpeh bilvad. So in a sense, there's a new bris, and perhaps the most important bris, with Torah Shebaalpeh, and Torah Shebaalpeh is now flourishing as the main primary mode of Avodah of Klal Yisrael in the Golus, in the period of Pizur. That's when the bris between HaKadosh Baruch and Yisrael reaches its pinnacle. And that means, my friends, that there's a certain adifus, a certain superiority, if you will, to Bayis Sheni in comparison to Bayis Rishon, because the period of time of Bayis Sheni is a part, insofar as it's a partnership between the partnership between Klal Yisrael and the Torah reflects itself in the power of Torah Shebaalpeh, which is the intensity of the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So all the psukim that we saw in the Nevuah of Haggai, that speak about the superior nature of Bayis Sheni and the kavod of Bayis Sheni, as we saw in the pasuk, again, let's read it once more, Gadol yeh kavod HaBayis Achrim min HaRishon, that kavod is really a reflection of Bayis Sheni as the period of Torah, of the flourishing of Torah Shebaalpeh, the period of the Avodah of Torah Shebaalpeh, and the intense bris between HaKadosh Baruch and Nesio reaching its apex in Torah Shebaalpeh. That's the Gadol HaKavod of Bayis Sheni. I just want to add a footnote here of my own. We'll have to come back to understand the Gemara Bava Basra that says that the Gadol covered by his Achrim and Rishon reflects Shonim and Binyan. It seems very odd that the structure or the architecture or the life, you know, lifespan of Bayis Sheni, you know, insofar as it lasted 420 years instead of 470, I mean, why would that have anything to do? How does that, is that a reflection or related to the greatness of Bayis Sheni as the period of Torah Shebaalpeh? That's in a footnote. But Ad Kana Kofa Aleph, meaning at this point, we have completed A of A, B, and C, and now we move on to B, which is to try to understand the flip side of Bayis Sheni, which the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim is Hatzotzas HaMinus. There's heresy that's rampant, and that describes the character, the nature of Bayis Sheni. The flourishing of Minus at the time by Bayis Sheni is not just coincidental, but rather We have to understand why it is directly related to the nature of Tkufas Bayis Sheni. That you could have had Minus and Apikursus and Avodah Zarah and idol worship at the time Bayis Rishon, and it certainly was. So to what extent do we say that the phenomenon of Hatzotzas and Prichas Aminus is related Dafka to Bayis Sheni? And he writes, Sharshal shel guf ha'ma'ora na'utzu v'parsha shleima shebetorah. He says, in order to answer this question and to explain the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni in terms of Hatzotzas or Prichas Aminus, we need to learn two parshas in the Torah and we have to compare them. There are two major tochachos, parshios of tochach in the Torah. One is at the end of Sefer Vayikra, one is towards the end of Sefer Dvarim. The first one in Parshas Bechukosai, and the second one in Parshas Sova. And as we go through the comparison between the two tochachos, we're going to keep in mind, which the Pagan Yisuk is going to mention very shortly, the Chiddush of the Ramban, the inside of the Ramban, is that that the first tochacha of Sefer Vayikra foretells the destruction of the first bias, whereas the tochacha, the second tochacha in Sefer Dvarim, reflects the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. But we'll get to that in just a minute. First, we want to analyze, by comparing and contrasting the two tochachos, the siyum of the tochacha, the end of the tochacha. There's a fundamental difference between the conclusion of the first tochacha in Vayikra and the conclusion of the second tochacha in Sefer Dvarim. And that is that at the conclusion of the second tochacha, there's an addition which is totally omitted in the first tochacha, and that is Yizbarach bilvavo shalom yali ki bishrius libi elich, etc., etc. That whole piece of bishrius libi elich is completely missing from the tochacha in Sefer Vayikra. And what is the significance of that omission in Toras Kohen and in Sefer Dvarim? And the answer is, based on the Ramban that we mentioned before, that the tochacha of Toras Kohanim Vayikra is Churban Bayis Rishon, the tochacha of Dvarim is Churban Bayis Sheni, it means that this statement of Klal Yisrael, of Shalom Yehli Ki Bishrius Libi Eilech, which you'll find, if you want to look it up in the Torah itself, it's in Dvarim Chavtes, Pasuk Yudches, which I believe is in Parshas Nitzavim, that's a hemshech of the Tochacha of Kisavo. Those words, that declaration, Ki Bishrius Libi Eilech, is minus, is heresy. Because this is a statement of Prikas Ol, which means I cast from my shoulders any sort of responsibility. I'm a free agent. I can, chas shalom, do what I want. There's no reward and punishment. There's no system of schar vionesh. That's real minus. That's minus at it. And that's typical of Bayis Sheni. It doesn't appear at all in Bayis Rishon. And that's why Bishrius Libi Eilech is omitted from the Tochacha Rishona of Sefer Vayikra, which according to Ramban is related to Churban Bayis Rishon. The Prichas Aminus is exclusively related to Bayis Sheni. And therefore, this parsha of Bayis Sheni is a finger that points to the Lashon of the Rambam of Bimei Bayis Sheni Tzatz Aminus. Now, of course, you're going to have to ask the following question. What do you mean? There was no Minus during Bayis Rishon, there was Avodah Zarah during Bayis Rishon. But before we get to that question, we want to ask a different question. And that is, what is the word or the phrase in Lashon Kodesh for idol worship? And we know this Masechta Avodah Zarah. But that phrase, Avodah Zarah, doesn't appear in the Torah itself. The Torah has different words to describe or define idol worship. In the Gemara, of course, you know, Elilut, which means, you know, idols, is called Avodah Zarah. Now, what's the difference between speaking about, for example, in the Torah's language, Lo Yeh Becha El Zar, and the emphasis here is on the God, or Elohim Achirim, the gods, and Avodah Zarah, which is again a term used by Chazal in the Talmud, but doesn't appear in the Torah itself. And that's a fundamental question, because the answer is fundamental. The names for Eliliut in the Torah reflect not the Avodah, not the service, but rather the object, the Chefetz, if you want to call it, of the Elil, of the idol. In other words, the object of one's Avodah. So there are two dimensions here. There's the Avodah, there's the actual cultic service, and then there is the object which is being served. The names, the early names of idol worship reflect not the worship but the idol. And that's what you find throughout Kisvei HaKodesh. The Zarus, the concept of Zarus here reflects itself in the Nevad, in the object of, and or if you will, the subject of the Avodah, not in the Avodah itself. Lo Yeh Becha El Zar, or Elohim Acherim. And there are many other similar phrases throughout the Tanakh. The Zarus of the Avodah, of the action, of the idol worship, not the idol but the worship, only reflects itself in the language of Chazal when they call it Avodah Zarah. And this is going to have a tremendous impact on the concept of Minus. Minus meaning a heresy. You know, on the one hand, there's denial of the one God, and there's idol worship. Again, I'm emphasizing the word idol, that exists at the time of the Torah of the Tanakh. When we make the transition into the later period of history, the period of Torah Shebaal Peh, the period of Pizur, now we're talking about something totally different. When we're talking about Churban Bayis Sheni, we're talking about Prikas Ol. That's fundamentally different than a sin of Teyavon, of pleasure and passions. The paganistic cult and culture of the time of the Tanakh is one of hedonistic pleasures. The worship of idols are part and parcel, an extension of a hedonism, of a certain unbridled and unlimited desire for pleasure. In fact, the second period of time, which is Churban Bayis Sheni and onward, then we're talking about a period of Prikas Ol. It's not a chet l'teyavon, but rather it's mamash a chet of minus. It's lahachis, if you will. It's an intellectual, deliberate decision of Prikas Ol, to reject the Ol of the Torah. And the Bavan Yitzchak claims that there's a very fundamental difference between the two in terms of tshuva. He writes, based on a pasuk, which I believe he uses this pasuk in Mishlei of Kol be'aya lo yeshuvu, and he says there's no return. He says the doors of tshuva, of charata and kabbalah, are locked in front of a min. A person who's guilty of minus, which is again the tkufa of Bayis Sheni, he is completely hit the door, the gateway of tshuva is completely closed in his face. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. He doesn't have any tikkun. The only tikkun that he can have is some sort of new kind of tshuva, a separate category of tshuva, the likes of which we find in Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, in the sugya in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin. That's a whole different type of tshuva. And the reason why a person is enjoined from tshuva is because of the nature of his, and the very unique quality or categorization of his minus. You know, minus means min, miloshin min. It's a whole new category. It's a prikas ol. It's a chait that has nothing to do with taiva. It's not passion oriented. It's not the man doesn't have the ability and the strength to discipline his taivas. It's a whole new category unto itself. And it reflects a whole different nature of Klal Yisrael. In other words, Klal Yisrael in Bayis Rishon, if they're plagued by the powerful passion of Avodah Zarah, and that's going to end when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Shech the Yitzhahara, which is the Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Tes, and elsewhere, Nishchat Yitzhah Avodah Zarah Lidei Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it means the Alilius of that period of time, ending with the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which was one of Taiva, of Amumar L'Teyavon. And you'll see that throughout Tanakh, the resichus, the profound nature of taiva, the yetzer of Avodah Zarah, when it was, you know, in control, was so intense that the Jewish people fell prey to that passion, to the resichus ha-taiva, and they couldn't overcome and discipline their hedonistic passions, and therefore they worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's why you'll take a look, for example, in the whole parsha of Benos Moav, in the Torah, following Parshas Bullock, you will see the passion and the inability of the Jew to control his passion, and he worships the idols of Moab and Baal Peor and all that because, or within the context of his passions. But once the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, as we saw in the Gemara in Yuma, shechted the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, and the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was completely lost. Again, I shouldn't say the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah because we're not talking in Avodah Zarah terms. The terminology that's appropriate here is Eliliyut. And that Yetzirah for Eliliyut was gone. And in its place, and this is the period of Vaisheni, what we find is Prikas Ol, what we find is Minus, the desire of Avodah, the Avodah itself, and this whole chiddush of the Shema Avodah Zarah, which we find only in Chazal, in the period past the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that reflects the fact that the Zarus here is in the Guf Avodah, not in the Alil. There's no desire for the Alil, but in the Avodah. You know, it starts with man seeking a certain kind of Avodah, and he wants to be in control of that Avodah, and it's a whole new category. It's a min b'fnei atzmo that's called minus. That's where he becomes a zar. You know, the avodah zara here, the zaras here, reflects self in this new category of avodah, which is an avodah zara. He wants to break away from avodah Hashem and create an avodah unto itself. And therefore, when you analyze these two tochachos, you'll find in both of them, in Toras Kohanim, in Vayikra, and in Mishneh Torah, in Dvarim, the subject is Elilius, but the difference is in the understanding of what's going on over here. The Tochacha of Toras Kohanim, which is dedicated to Bayis Rishon, is fundamentally different than the Tochacha of Mishneh Torah, of Dvarim, which is Bayis Sheni. Because between these two Batim, emerged this new category, this new kind of Elilius, which is called Avodah Zarah. In the Tochach and Mishneh Torah, the Pasuk refers to Minus. You won't find it in the Tochach in Sefer Vayikra, where Elilius is controlling, is pulling the strings and gravitationally pulling people towards Eliliut. You know, the Yetzahar itself and the passion, the taiva, you won't find this concept of minus. He writes, Elilius shalel medubar b'toras b'tochacha shebetoras konim azoros nidbekes hi la'olil. La'olil, the allele itself is the source, if you will, of the Zoros. The allele beckons to him, and that the allele has an alluring power, a powerful, passionate power that brings man and pulls him towards the allele. And although I obviously the tochach is on a very severe sin, and therefore the Migdash was destroyed as a result of that sin, but nevertheless, we're not talking about prikas ol, of min, of a new min, which comes into being in Bayis Sheni. In other words, with regard to the sin of Elilius, of Bayis Rishon, we would not apply the pasuk in Mishle of Lo Yeshuvun. But when we get to Bayis Sheni, now we're talking about Minus, now we're talking about his Borer Belevav Olemar Shalom Yehli Ki Beshrirus Li Bielech at the beginning of Parashas Nitzavim, which again is the clincher of the Tochacha for Bayis Sheni. And what is this pasuk indicating? If you look in the Gaon says that there's a fundamental difference here, because in Bayis Sheni, the Torah is speaking to the nation as a nation, whereas Bayis Rishon, whereas the Tochacha in Vayikra, the Torah is speaking to individuals. The Gaon says that in the first Tochacha, there's a Lashon Rabim. He says that's why Ein Rishoy LaHafsik. Lashon Rabim is written in the plural, Torah, in the Tochacha Shnia, you're allowed to be Mafsik because it's written in Lashon Yachid. And he goes and explains what's the difference between the grammatical plural and the grammatical singular. In the first case, Lashon Rabim, the grammatical plural, is Koyal Kol Yachid V'Yachid. When you look at the people and you say everyone in the plural, you're referring to each individual and the conglomerate of individuals. In the second case, which is the Tochacha of Parshas Nitzavim, there we're talking in Lashon Yachid because the Pasuk is addressing Klal Yisrael as an entity. However, the Gaon doesn't really embellish this. He doesn't speak about why, he doesn't address the question why the first Tochacha addresses individuals, whereas the second addresses the nation as a whole, as a collective entity. And of course, in the light of the Ramban and the discussion that we've had, we can really embellish the Gra and shed a light on the different grammatical structures of the two Tochachas, respectively. Whereas the first one is B'lashon Yachid. I'm sorry, whereas the first one is Lashon Rabim and it addresses the individual, the second one is Lashon Yochin and addresses the entity, the collective entity of Klal Yisrael. The first Tochacha, says the Ramban, is by Bayis Rishon, the second one is by Bayis Sheni. And the entire Torah was given to the Klal, to Klal Yisrael as an entity. So we don't have to really answer the question why the second Tochacha is written B'Lashon Yochid addressing the Klal, because the Torah from beginning to end addresses Klal Yisrael as an entity, as a collective entity. It's always B'Lashon Yochid. So the Tochacha in Dvarim, like the rest of the Torah, reflects the signon, the style of Lashon Yochid, of the Klal Yisrael. But we have to understand in the Tochacha Rishona, why is it unusual? And here the Torah is addressing in Lashon Rabim the individual. Why is it addressing each individual? And according to what we've said, it becomes crystal clear, because when you're dealing with the first Tochacha and the punishment of Churban Bayis, which is predicted, foretold in the first Tochacha of Vayikra, namely Churban Bayis Rishon, you're talking about a transition through the Churban Bayis Rishon from Kinus to Pizur. Klal Yisrael are no longer going to be connected as an entire group to the land. Now they're going to be separated. They're going to be spread out throughout the four corners of the earth. That's the Pizur. And that Yitzia, that transition between Kinus and Pizur, itself indicates the collapse of the Klal, meaning of the collective entity of Klal Yisrael. The Klal, that entity, that indivisible unit of Klal Yisrael, applies or exists in Eretz Yisrael in the Matzav of Kinus. once Kinus is ended with the Churban of Bais Rishon and Pizur takes place, and that Pizur is going to reflect the situation of Klal Yisrael spread out through even during Bais Sheni, the Hisporus, you know, the crumbling, you know, the collapse of Klal Yisrael as an entity, that is Pizur. And that is the nature and the essence of Churban Bais Rishon. And therefore it makes sense that in the Tochacha that foretells the Churban of Bais Rishon, that of Sefer Vayikra, the language is going to be B'loshon Rabin, meaning in setting up the individuals, each member of Klal Yisrael is a separate entity unto itself. We're no longer unified. This is the Pizur. This is the Hisporus. The collapse and the disintegration of Kinus, of Klal Yisrael, is one indivisible entity. He says, Hapirut yovo bilavush signon shel medabra liyichidim. The pirut, meaning setting up individuals as pratim, as opposed to a klal, will reflect itself in the fact that the language is addressing individuals. That's Lashon Rabbim that addresses individuals. And we see that when we compare and contrast Kinus and Pizur with regard to Knesset Yisrael, we're not only talking about the gufim, you know, the bodies of members of Klal Yisrael, the physical situation of spreading Klal Yisrael, Kinus meaning all the bodies in one place. It even goes beyond that. Kinus, with regard to Knesset Yisrael, it describes an existential state of being. It's a powerful koach of Klolius of Knesset, where the Klal, where the Knesset Yisrael as an individual unit has a tremendous impact on every single individual member of Klal Yisrael. The Pratius of each individual is really swallowed up in the Klolius of Knesset Yisrael. So you've got the Prat, but the Prat is only a function of and impacted by the Klal. But when we look at Pizur, in contrast, we're talking about the exact opposite. And there, it's not that the Klal has the impact on the Prat, but rather the Pizur, which separates the Pratim into Yechidim, into individuals, completely cuts them off from the Klal, from that powerful entity of Knesset Yisrael as a collective whole. And therefore, from this perspective, he says, Ein haribui shal Yechidim nira kikoma achida. Okay, that's going to be the punishment here, and we're going to talk about the punishment of the two tochachos and how that reflects itself. Number one, in the punishment of avodah zarah, which is called elilius, in the case of the first destruction of the first bias rishon, as opposed to the punishment for minus for prikas ol, which has an impact on the tzibur as a tzibur in the case of Bayis Sheni. So B'lid Eder, that's what we'll pick up next time, and we'll see if we'll be able to Birtz Hashem, now that we're halfway through Maimer Yud, finish this Maimer, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us do so. Birtz Hashem, B'lid Eder.